turns out that the Bears said, oh yeah, we're only really interested in Arlington Heights or Hammond. And then it turns out also that in April there were several meetings between the Bears and the city, which, you know, depending on who you ask, some lawmakers said, well, those discussions between the team and the city gave the city some level of false hope that they were still in the running, or, you know, the city viewed it as that they were still in the running. So what it come down to, A, lawmakers really didn't want to give away the farm to the Bears, and B, enough Chicago lawmakers said, well, why would we, you know, act on legislation that would help the team move away from the city to Arlington Heights? And, you know, Chicago sort of ended up having enough sway in the legislature to have this 11th hour bill that would essentially allow municipalities within Cook County with over 60 or 70,000 residents being able to compete and create their own sports facilities authorities to make a stadium happen. But there was so much confusion surrounding that, and no one really knew whether the Bears even supported it or who wanted to do it, that it passed the Senate and ultimately failed in the House. And, you know, maybe you're going to touch on it, Robin, but I think one thing to note here is, wow, the Bears board of directors supposedly made this decision to advance a site in Indiana. It is not a 100% done deal. And I think even the Indiana governor went on a Chicago TV station and said as much.
You're listening to Heartland Politics with Robin Johnson, a presentation of WVIK Quad Cities NPR.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the Heartland Politics show and podcast, which is aired on and distributed by WVIK Quad Cities NPR. WVIK is the flagship public radio station in the Quad Cities region of eastern Iowa and northwestern Illinois. I'm your host, Robin Johnson, and we just had the Illinois legislature adjourn after its session, and it had some interesting activities, as always. Some things got done, some things did not get done, and we're going to look a little bit at today at what took place and what the impact is on your wallet out there. That's what everybody wants to know about. To do that with me is Jerry Nowicki, who's the editor-in-chief of Capital News Illinois. Jerry's been on before, and this is probably the best source out there, I think, anyway, in providing objective news on what goes on in Illinois. Jerry, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you, Robin, and thank you for saying that.
So if you had to kind of wrap up what happened in just a headline or just a couple sentences, what's the overarching theme of this session? And then we'll take a look at some specifics.
Oh, I guess Bears bill fails, budget passes. you know, I'm being kind of, I don't know the word here, but, you know, the point is that the Bears kind of overshadowed a lot of what happened here, even though there was this major legislation. Everybody was reading about the Bears and wanted to know every detail about the Bears. Well, you know, lawmakers decided how to spend roughly $56 billion and some new taxes here or there and some major things that happened outside of the Bears.
I was trying to think of a third B, Bears, budget, and something else, but I maybe beef for the official state sandwich.
Well, build, because the governor had his build plan about housing that didn't really go anywhere.
Okay, there we go. So let's get into the Bears thing right off. You know, there's tough times out there. Prices are high, you know, and people are facing some serious cost of living issues. And the talk was, you know, about the Bears building a new stadium in Arlington Heights. I guess the thing people want to know, Jerry, is what people were hearing, both sides, was state tax dollars, our tax dollars, going to go to finance this new stadium for a bunch of billionaire owners?
Yeah, the answer to that was no. It was, that was never really in play. Now, there was some level of agreement, you know, not written on a dotted line or anything, but just the state and the governor were open to the idea of providing $850 million of infrastructure work surrounding the site. Well, you know, infrastructure work is a public good. It's not just, you know, we're not talking about stadium walls. We're talking about roads and water and whatever else, projects that need to happen to make the site feasible and to accommodate the traffic surrounding the site. So that was always kind of in discussions. They were kind of consider that, but it was like, we're not going to pay the McCaskies X amount of dollars for construction materials or anything like that. What the discussion was for several years was about providing property tax certainty in terms of letting the Bears negotiate their property tax rate with local taxing bodies, but it would have been a bill that didn't just serve the Bears. It would have done any so-called mega project with X amount of hundreds of millions of dollars of investment. But, you know, it proved that for a number of reasons, we could spend all day talking about that part wouldn't come to fruition.
Well, there you go, listeners. It would not take your tax dollars, state tax dollars, and put towards a new Bears stadium. The money, any money, would be put into infrastructure for general purpose around the area, and then any specific property tax relief was going to be local, not state. Good. I'm glad you got that out. The interesting thing to me was, and it happened at the 11th hour, and I'm a Bear fan, and I just think the images of the playoff games at night on the lakefront were just magnificent. And losing that, we're going to be losing something. But City of Chicago seemed to have no voice in this until, of course, the last minute. What happened there?
Yeah, it's hard to really characterize it. It turns out that the Bears said, oh yeah, we're only really interested in Arlington Heights or Hammond. And then it turns out also that in April there were several meetings between the Bears and the city, which, depending on who you ask, some lawmakers said, well, those discussions between the team and the city gave the city some level of false hope that they were still in the running, or, you know, the city viewed it as that they were still in the running. So when it come down to, A, lawmakers really didn't want to give away the farm to the Bears, and B, enough Chicago lawmakers said, well, why would we, you know, act on legislation that would help the team move away from the city to Arlington Heights? And, you know, Chicago sort of ended up having enough sway in the legislature to have this 11th hour bill that would essentially allow municipalities within Cook County with over 60 or 70,000 residents being able to compete and create their own sports facilities authorities to make a stadium happen. But there was so much confusion surrounding that, and no one really knew whether the Bears even supported it or who wanted to do it, that it passed the Senate and ultimately failed in the House. And, you know, maybe you're going to touch on it, Robin, but I think one thing to note here is, while the Bears board of directors supposedly made this decision to advance a site in Indiana, it is not a 100% done deal. And I think even the Indiana governor went on a Chicago TV station and said as much yesterday. So, you know, the Kevin Warren, the Bears CEO, said, we're going to continue to talk to Illinois lawmakers, or at least indicated to Illinois lawmakers that they're going to continue to talk. So, you know, I don't think this thing is dead. There's certainly going to be more talk about it in the coming days, coming weeks. But, you know, we're just going to have to see where that goes.
I was going to ask about that. I know you, the thing I respect most about Capital News Illinois is just the unfiltered reporting of facts, which we need more of. But I'm going to ask you a little opinion here. There was a lot of criticism going back and forth about the Bears leadership being somewhat duplicitive, Kevin Warren, about the Bears not being present in Springfield enough. Then there was criticism of the governor, who really wasn't in Springfield much. There was a count on the number of days that he was there. Of course, he's out campaigning for president too. But do you have a sense, based on your reporting and your staff's reporting, of whether there was one side or the other that maybe wasn't to blame for this falling apart?
it sort of seemed like a lackadaisical approach in much of like January, February. Maybe the negotiations and the legislature weren't moving quickly. The governor wasn't doing anything to kickstart them. And Kevin Warren was, you know, over in Indiana seeing what he could get there. So I think there's probably some blame to be spread. Add the mayor of Chicago into that mix for taking some of that blame. I mean, the governor, there were a lot of issues where we were kind of just waiting for him to give a push to the hamster wheel, so to speak, and he just didn't. I think on the issue of data centers, you know, the advocates behind a bill that would have added some regulation to data center was like, you know, where has the governor been on this? Was it lack of engagement, I think they accused him of? So he was definitely a little bit more absent than we've seen him in previous sessions.
Okay. I appreciate that insight. Let's go to the second B, the budget. Talk about that. What were the highlights? Did any areas get increases? Was there cuts in any areas? How would you describe it overall for listeners anxious to learn more?
Yeah, it was pretty close to what the governor had proposed in February. Education got its increase, the $350 million that statute calls for every year. I think the municipalities ended up, the governor had proposed a percentage cut, the percentage of the income tax that's dedicated to local municipalities was to decrease by about 0.1. That was nixed. They got flat funding from a year ago, which was a major win for them. They, of course, wanted more, but they didn't get the hat. And then the gas tax, 1.3 cent gas tax increase won't take effect on July 1. They pushed it back to January. There's going to be a sales tax holiday for school supplies from August 7th to 16th. And state sales tax anyway. And then there were some new taxes on here, but I think it was for things like fantasy sports that's slated to generate $65 million, cap on the net operating loss deduction. I think there was digital assets or like what they call a cryptocurrency tax that's going to be applied, a tax on social media companies that they didn't really build into the budget. The tax on social media companies is built into the budget. And then there was a digital ad tax that could generate some revenue, but was not built into the budget because they expect it to be challenged in court and probably an unreliable revenue stream. So that's kind of the top lines of the budget.
It sounds like it's just kind of a hold-in-place budget for this year. No major new initiatives and just, what was it, $800 million in tax increases? Is that the...
I'm not 100% sure of the total number.
That's right. I remember. Just kind of a hold-in-place budget, basically, compared with last year, just based on the state's kind of uncertain economic environment.
Yeah, and that's kind of, there was this weird blip amid all of the federal COVID dollars that invigorated the economy from like 2020 through 2022 fiscal years, or 21 to 23, whatever it was, where revenue just sort of boomed. And the state had a lot of flexibility to do some new stuff, to kick into the rainy day fund, add to its normal pension payments, and do all sorts of stuff. That's gone. Like the last 2 years, maybe 3 years, have been, yeah, as you describe it, a maintenance budget type deal.
You're listening to Heartland Politics on WVIK, Quad Cities NPR. I'm your host, Robin Johnson, and my guest today is Jerry Nowicki, who's the editor-in-chief of Capital News Illinois. It's an excellent resource for just straight news, straight journalism on state news and politics. So I highly recommend it. It's free, and although they will take donations. So it's really an excellent resource. Again, if somebody like me I starve for sources that are objective, that just give you the facts and not tainted with opinion. We get enough opinions. So again, I'm making a pitch here, this is a great resource for you. Anyway, Jerry's been talking a little bit about what happened, the Bears and the budget, and we've covered a little bit of both of those. I wanted to ask, you said the education funding kind of stayed in place, and you described some of the tax increases. Were there any other highlights in the budget that go to meet human needs right now that's going on? I mean, you discussed the COVID money, which helped, and then now I know a lot of lawmakers were blaming Trump for cutting certain areas, Medicaid and things like that, but were there any highlights that focus on, you know, health or any other basic human needs?
So direct service providers will get a 60-cent wage increase for one. You know, those are the people dealing with the most vulnerable, people with special needs and whatnot. And then there's this so-called FRESH program, Families Receiving Emergency Support for Hunger. Essentially, people who have lost or seen SNAP benefits reduced due to federal changes could be eligible for a one-time payment of $400. It would be a one-year program and cost about $70 million. That was an interesting one. There were $65 million in reductions for government operations, and there was lots of talk. Democrats were asking, will this lead to any layoffs in state government? And the answer was always no. So I don't know that I have an itemized list of what that means, just in general, budgets tightening a little bit for agencies.
To ask Jerry, I mean, if you go out and talk to people, out in my area anyway, and I'm sure it's the same across the state, their big concerns right now are prices, utility bills. I mean, I've heard stories of small businesses saying that the utility bills are the size of mortgages almost. The food prices have skyrocketed. Gas, they're easing a little bit right now, but gas prices are high. You did say that the state is going to delay an increase in the gas tax a little bit, but did the legislature do anything to address those concerns about the buzzword is affordability?
Yeah, so there's some of the things I mentioned there, but in terms of, like, there was calls for getting rid of the sales tax on gasoline, which is separate than the motor fuel tax, and they did not do that. In fact, they transferred about $150 million in sales tax revenue on motor fuel to the general revenue fund. And, the Republican talking point was that could have been money given back to the people of Illinois, right? Like, to some extent. But no, it didn't do that. It did just freeze the 1.3 cent increase for 6 months. Certainly the Republicans would say they didn't do enough. I think the Democrats would point to the type of SNAP supplement and just those types of programs on social services that, Democrats focus on every year.
Okay. You mentioned data centers earlier, and I know that's a big hot topic across the country. They're being built up at an enormous level. States like Virginia, I know, Illinois, I know there's locally, there's been talk about data centers in some places downstate. I know there's a lot going on up north, but what was the talk in Springfield, the legislative proposals, and what happened with it?
Yeah, there was a bill called the Power Act that, from the early days, the advocates were down here pushing for greater transparency from data centers on water usage, on a type of bring your own energy type deal, in terms of, if you want to be a large load project getting on the grid, you have to have your own energy and it has to be renewable. You can't just be pulling from the grid and making everyone else's bills higher. So it just went nowhere. I alluded to it earlier that the advocates accused the governor of lack of engagement. And it's true, the governor didn't really engage. So he had also called in his budget address to put a 2-year moratorium on these lucrative tax breaks for data center build out. I know already like $1 billion has been committed to those since it took effect in 2019. But he also called for the 2-year pause. Lawmakers didn't do it, so he went ahead and did that, you know, unilaterally via executive order. It was last week.
So nothing done on this yet in Illinois, anyway. So we'll keep an eye on that. We've mentioned the governor a couple times, and I think it's no secret to our listeners that he's looking at a presidential run. My guess is he's made the decision to do it, but. I guess one story making the rounds is that the Sol session was driven by him. His lack of engagement to a degree perhaps was calculated to just kind of have a non-controversial budget, not much action, controversial, so that he could focus on a presidential race. Is that something you've heard? Do you think that's got some legs to it?
Well, you know, it's hard to say because inaction on data centers could be viewed as a liability, right? I mean, it's a major issue, probably going to be a major national issue when the time of the next election comes. You know, he ran ads for his build housing plan even up to the end of session, but then I hear lawmakers say, oh, yeah, he didn't really reach out to us on that until the last minute. And, you know, he's not going to push us over the line with a text at the end of session. So, you know, I is it calculated? Well, if it is, then why put so many major initiatives in your budget address, right? Like, there was a lot of things he said he wanted to do, community colleges, being able to offer some type of degrees. Well, he there were a lot of things he didn't push over the finish line, but also, you know, he is the governor that took over after Rauner and got budget after budget passed that, you know, Republicans certainly don't like the spending growth and the way things have been balanced, but they've been balanced. So, I mean, the budget is always his main priority. He made that clear. But to say he, you know, was intentionally not engaging on the things that he discussed in his February budget proposal would seem at odds with the reality here.
Mentioned the Housing Act, and that's something I forgot to mention down in my notes, but could you talk about that? I mean, that there's another major issue. Housing is really expensive, and especially in some of these rural areas like where I live, where you wouldn't think it would be, but it still is. And young people are having trouble buying their first homes. What was involved in that proposal, if you could share that as well?
Yeah, it was kind of wide-ranging, but the big ones that really upset it, municipalities, and that was sort of a theme of the session too, that the governor and municipalities were so far at odds. It would essentially limit the local control to, or more so, it would create statewide zoning laws that would set minimum standards for allowing like 2 flats, or they call them granny flats, where multi-person homes, local zoning boards can execute a lot of authority on that and say, you know, we don't want you to be able to build a supplemental house on top of your garage or turn your garage into a granny flat, as they call it. So local zoning boards have that authority now. This would essentially make, under certain parameters, you know, like you can't block that type of home. I think they use the term middle housing, which is, you know, kind of self-explanatory there. But he met his match with the municipalities, it would seem. The Illinois Municipal League really fought hard against that. But then, you know, you have these housing advocates who say, well, any state that's done something like this, it has been a multi-year negotiation process. It hasn't just been introduced 1 month and passed the next. So, you know, we got the veto session coming up. He's got a couple of months to figure out where he went wrong this session and see if he can get the train back on track in the fall after the election.
Yeah, as a former local official, yeah, we get pretty sensitive about any state laws and mandates and limitations on our flexibility. So, but I would imagine that's something that can be worked out if they sit down and talk it through. We've got, of course, a big election coming up in the fall, and we'll be having the U.S. Senate seat at the top of the ticket, Dick Durbin retiring, the governor and all statewide officials, state legislators. What are you watching for anything, Jerry, in your position as editor-in-chief, you know, after, you know, the Democrats have super majorities of both houses. They're pretty, you know, obviously control everything in Illinois. With, in this political landscape, are you watching for anything, any specific candidates you're going to keep an eye on, any issues? Just pick us inside your, you know, your newsroom, so to speak, what your staff, what you guys are going to be following here coming up.
Yeah, there's all the statewide races are up. You know, one of the things, Darren Bailey's performance the last time around, 2022, was the race was called at 7:01. He was not close to Pritzker. I'm kind of just going to watch, you know, could he win? Sure. I mean, any, you know, who knows? But, you know, if he loses, is the margin closer? You know, is he chipping away? Is Democratic control, the stronghold of Democratic control, weakening in Illinois? You know, that's one of the things. But there's a variable here that I feel like could change the landscape. And that's the Bears. People love football. Everybody watches football. People love the Bears, the pride and joy of Illinois, as their song famously goes. Will that, you know, alter the landscape in some of these close general election, general assembly elections? I don't know. I mean, you know, it could be, you know, a couple months from now, we could be talking about, you know, a new proposal that's going to move them to Arlington Heights or build a dome on the lakefront. Who knows? That's not a prediction. I'm just saying things here. But, I mean, that's a variable that I don't think any of us, you know, certainly at Capital News Illinois, would be able to quantify in terms of knowing how it would affect a race. So, you know, if by November shovels are in the ground in Indiana and it's no longer this speculative thing, how does that affect some of these races we're watching? I mean, I don't know.
Well, you clarified the main point that I hear. People love the Bears, Bear fans anyway, but they don't want their tax dollars to go for a stadium. And Jerry just stated today unequivocally that was not part of it, at least at this point. So, I do think politically it would be interesting if they do move that people might, you know, seek some retribution for some of the leaders that were perceived as letting it happen. So that's interesting. I wasn't thinking you were going to say that. So that's really interesting vantage point. Could the Bears be the key issue in the fall elections? If they're playing well, it makes a difference. If they're no good, well, people won't care then maybe. But anyway.
Good point.
Well, Jerry, thank you so much for taking the time. As always, it's enlightening and, again, a focus on facts and what really happens. And that's something I think we all need more of. Jerry's the editor-in-chief of Capital News Illinois, and I urge everybody to check it out online. Jerry, thank you so much for taking the time.
Yeah, thank you, and thanks for all the nice things you said about us.
You've been listening to Heartland Politics with Robin Johnson, a presentation of WVIK Quad Cities NPR. You can follow Heartland Politics at WVIK.org or wherever you subscribe to podcasts.